Welcome to Next Level Christianity, a podcast designed to teach Christians biblical truth, help apply it to their daily lives, and gain true clarity of what it means to follow Jesus. Our churches and Christian communities are being influenced by cultural and worldly views, and few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is John Alkire, along with my beautiful wife, Carrie Ann. Please join us as we have important conversations where biblical truth and life application collide. We hope these episodes help equip and motivate you to take your Christian faith to the next level. So grab your Bible and join us in the conversation. Welcome to another episode of our podcast, Next Level, where biblical truth and life application collide. I'm your host, John Alkire. My co-host and lovely wife, Carrie Ann, could not make this episode tonight. She is a little bit under the weather. So I am taking the helm here and moving us into a super exciting three-part episode called Three Pillars of Spiritual Development. I'm excited. My wife and I are excited. We are excited. This is hopefully going to be super transformational, super powerful. Hopefully it equips, it teaches, it inspires and motivates you. It is for all ages. If you have teenagers, tune them into this. Let them listen to this. This is for all ages. This has got a ton of content in it, biblical verses, content. And so you're just going to want to grab a notepad and your Bible, and you're just going to want to sit and dig into these. And we're just going to go right into it. And if you follow these episodes, you're going to kind of feel like, oh, I think I've heard this before. Episode 4, we did, it was called So Now What? We did 6 stages of spiritual development, which we really focused on the Christians that have just said yes to Jesus. It's new, and it's kind of one of those, so now what? It answers the question, all right, well, I said yes to Jesus. I was in church. I was with my friend or what have you. I said yes. I'm ready to move forward. So now what? So it was just kind of one of those things that takes you through this different stages of your faith and maturity. This is going to be different in the fact that these are pillars. And when you think of pillars are what hold up a very, very heavy structure above. And just picture it as your Christian faith, your faith and your journey, and these pillars are what are going to hold up your faith and your Christianity for your life. These pillars will never go away. They're going to be something that are super important, and you can't have one without the other. They all kind of intertwine, and so they're super powerful, and I'm excited to teach on it, and I hope you join all three of them. So the three pillars are going to be number one, personal relationship with God, pillar number one. Pillar number two, which you'll get next week, is sanctification. And pillar number three is going to be sharing our faith. And so these are three pillars of spiritual development in our life and are three important parts of our walk with Christ and that we need to be focused on and practicing all the time. So we're going to dig right into this. And so if you have teenagers, I want to start this off. When we do pillar number one, personal relationship, understand that this is going to be, and maybe even for you adults who are iPhone crazy, techno people, our personal relationships have moved to the phone. It moved to texting, Snapchats, Instagram, DMing each other and all this stuff, and our teenagers and our high schoolers, they don't even text. It's all Snapchat. That's how they talk. They don't talk on the phone. They just Snapchat. So that's our communication. Those are our personal relationships now. It's all through the phone. It's not how we have a personal relationship with God. You can't Snapchat God. You can't tweet God. You can't text God. You can't Instagram God. You got to have a personal relationship, and that's what we're going to talk about in pillar one. Is our foundation. And as our starting point, and we're just going to dig into it. And it's very important as parents of Christian children that as we talk about these pillars, and my hope in this, in our prayer, is if you've got teenagers, they lock into these pillars and they start identifying these in their life. But as parents, I want you to think about how you're living these out. Are you living these out? Are you a role model of these pillars to your kids? And if not, maybe you need to think about changing that. Because our kids are going to be influenced by us. Look, we sometimes look at, hey, it's the pastor's job or youth pastors to raise our kids up. No, the Bible's very clear that we as parents are to raise our kids up for the way they should go. And that's our job and our duty. It is not your youth pastor's duty. And so part of this three-part series or three episodes is we talk about each pillar. This is for us as parents to live these out as examples to our children and to others. But man, we need to drive this on our kids. We need to give these pillars of spiritual development to our kids and equip them this way and encourage them and lead them this way. And no, it's not your pastor's job. Trust me, what's happening in youth programs, let's just start this off by saying, hey, if you have a middle school kid or a high school kid, he or she is involved in 30 to 40 hours a week of worldly training and influence. Let me repeat myself. Middle school, high school, especially public schools, your Christian children are spending 30 to 40 hours a week under worldly training and influence. So if we're relying on our youth pastors and our midweek programs or Sunday programs, which is going to be probably what, 2 to 3 hours a week of equipping, and you think that's going to be enough for them to survive and to be strong in their faith, you're way wrong. The math doesn't work out. Your kid's going to lose. It's got to come from us as parents. So part of this equipping is for us as parents. This is going to be about giving you as parents these pillars so that you're looking at yourself, finding, am I living these out? Am I influencing my children? Am I the role model with these? To try to get that moving forward, but then getting these into your kids' hands. This is super powerful for your kids. Okay? So hopefully we're equipping both parents and kids here. And so I want to start off with, again, pillar number one, personal relationship with God. We've got to have a personal relationship with God, and we can't do it via our cell phones. God is a God who wants to have a relationship with each one of us. He wants to be with us. He's with us. We are made in His image. He knew you before you were formed, the Bible says. He knew you before you were formed in the womb. He knows every hair on your head and how every hair on your head is numbered. And He promises to take care of you in the Bible. He talks about these things. And even our forefather Abraham was called a friend of God. A friend of God. Jesus Christ gave His life for us and has bridged the gap between us and God so that we can have that relationship. And even though we don't see or hear Him a lot of times, He loves us. He hears us. His ears are attentive to our requests and prayers. Therefore, we can be confident that He is with us always. And I ask the question right now, because this is the important launch into this. Are you inviting God in every aspect of your life? Is He invited to eat with you on the school campus? Is He invited with you in class? Is He invited with you at lunch with your friends? Is He invited with you at work? Is He invited with you in your room at night when you go to bed? Is He invited with you on the sports field, baseball field, softball field, football field, wherever? Is He invited in every aspect of your life? Because if He's not, you need to reevaluate that. Because He wants to be, and He's with you, and He wants to be with you in every part of your life, every detail. So, something to think about. So how do we build a relationship, right? How do we build a personal relationship with God? Well, number one, we do it through prayer. It's one way to communicate with Him, and many examples throughout the Bible that teach us how to do it effectively. And we're going to go through some of this, okay? But I want to talk about some verses that back up the prayer piece. And then we're going to break down some ways on how to pray, because there might be some of you going, I don't really feel very comfortable in prayer. I don't know how to pray. That's okay. We're going to talk about those. But let's look at what the Bible has to say. Matthew 7:7-12, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches about bold prayer. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Just want to make a note, all these things that he's saying, those are your needs. Just remember that. May not always be the desires you have, or may not always be what you're wanting, but it's going to meet your needs. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God. Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you will have received it and it will be yours. Jeremiah 29:12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And lastly, I have in 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for. It's about having a relationship. It's about trust. It's about putting him above us, putting him above everything else, and believing that he cares and loves us, because he does. And he wants to be with you everywhere. He wants to be in every aspect of your life if you allow him. And prayer is a communication that you can have with him. And so how do we do that? How do I pray? Some of you may be really good at praying. So in Nehemiah, this is great. I love this in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 1, chapter 1, verse 5 through 11, he does a prayer. And I'm not going to read the verses, and I want you to go check it out on your own. But he does five things in this prayer, and it will relate to what we hear in Matthew as Jesus teaches about prayer through the Lord's Prayer. You'll see some similar matches on how it's done. But the first five here, number one in Nehemiah chapter 1, 5 through 11, when you read his prayer, what does he do? He praises him. Number one, praise him. Acknowledge his authority. Number two, thanksgiving and gratitude. What are you thankful for? What's your gratitude? What are you grateful for? Number three, he confesses his sins and others who have harmed him. He forgives others. And number four, he asks for specific requests and petitions. And number five, he kind of gives his commitment to him. I'm committed to your work. I'm committed to your service. And so those are the five steps that Nehemiah goes through in the prayer as you read it. And I encourage you to do so. So there's an example of prayer. In Matthew chapter 6:5-14, Jesus teaches about prayer in the Lord's Prayer on the Sermon on the Mount. And he walks through six different ways that we'll break down real quick. Number one, honoring God in his name, right? Praising him, honoring him, our Father who is in heaven. Number two, God's spiritual reign, your kingdom come, as it says in there. Number three, God's perfect purpose will be accomplished, as it says in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done. And number four, God is our provider, as it says in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. You're acknowledging that he's providing for us. God provides for you and I, provides for our needs. Number five, forgive our sins and others who have sinned against us. You heard that in Nehemiah. He says, forgive our debtors. And then protect us from temptations. Protect us from the evil one. Protect us from Satan and his schemes. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil in the Lord's Prayer. So those are ways that Jesus was teaching his disciples. If you're going to pray, pray like this. And so I'm breaking it down a little bit to apply to your life and how you can implement the prayer in those steps, if you will. And then sometimes in James, I love James chapter 1, verse 57, we don't always know what to pray for. You know, we're just kind of, we get stuck. And he says, hey, pray for wisdom. You know, he says basically, number one, if we seek God's direction as we make wise decisions, right? Like, hey, sometimes I just need good wisdom. And he talks about heavenly wisdom in those verses. So check it out. And he gives you some examples of what those are. But man, sometimes we just need his wisdom. God, just give me wisdom in the day. Give me wisdom in the situation that you might be battling with or dealing with. And he will. If we pray for wisdom, he will supply what we need. We must believe he will provide the wisdom we seek. And you'll find that in James. And then Romans 8, chapter 8, 26 to 27, he talks about the Holy Spirit. So here's another important piece to all this. When we are not sure what to pray for, the Holy Spirit takes over for us. Number one, we are not alone as the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Number two, if we don't know how to pray or with what words, ask the Spirit to help you. Number three, it is promised he will communicate your thoughts and heart to God for you. The Holy Spirit is there to intercede for you if you don't know what to say. So that's prayer, and those are ways that we can communicate on a regular basis with God. And as you saw through the verses, it's a regular basis. We're to have a relationship with him. It's all the time. And so when you're in your room at night and you're about to go to bed, you can talk to God. You can pray in the morning when you get up. You can pray in your shower. I've done that many times. I'm just giving you examples. Driving in your car, everybody has sync, so nobody knows if you're on the phone. There's a lot of times I've shared this in another episode. I'm praying as I'm driving. It looks like I'm on a phone call. I'm probably talking to God about something. I'm probably going through these steps that I shared with you and praying to God. So you can pray in your car. You just pray, you can pray just in your head and in your heart before a meeting, before going into your test in school, before having a tough conversation with a friend or your kids. So prayer is that relationship, personal relationship, pillar number one that we're building. The other way to build a personal relationship is the Bible. It is known as the Word of God. The Bible is, and it is our life manual. You've heard me say it a million times, that provides everything we need. It provides us stories of faith and hope, instruction, encouragement, and teachings to apply to our daily life. We often seek other forms of advice. We're always looking for other direction from somewhere else or support, but the Bible is the one source where God literally speaks to you and I. And we have to be in it to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our eyes to the scriptures and stories he wants us to hear and what he wants to speak through. 2 Timothy 3:16, if you're in the Bible often, you know what it's going to say, but this is the confidence that we have. All scripture is what? God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly what? Equipped. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you are not in the Bible, you are not getting thoroughly equipped. We need to be in the Bible. It is a way that we can have that relationship. It's a way God is speaking to us. We speak to him through prayer. The Bible is speaking to us. God is speaking through us through the words. Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's funny, it takes me to a place. I've started Bible study with my oldest son in high school in the morning before he goes to school. And I call it his daily bread because we just read that verse. I call it our daily bread. It says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, the mouth of God is like the bread, right? It's his daily bread. It's his breakfast. And ever since we started that, we've gone through the entire book of John. And now we're going through Luke. We're going through the Gospels. But man, I've seen a complete difference in him. How he just, his joy, his confidence as he's going into the high school, and I've just seen a different kid. And so if you're not in the Bible with your kid, if you're not reading with him, if you're not getting him in the Bible, and I'm just going to go take it another step further here. You know, we hold our kids to all these standards, and we hold them accountable to their homework, to their grades, their school, piano lessons, piano trainings, hitting off the tee in the backyard, going to baseball, softball practice. We're holding our kids accountable to all these different aspects of their life, but we're not holding our kids accountable to reading the Bible. It's unbelievable to me. We hold them, we make them do all this other stuff and hold them accountable to their stuff, but we don't hold them accountable to reading the Bible for 20, 30 minutes a day. It's God's word. It's how we build pillar number one, that personal relationship, and the God's word speaking to us, and we're not holding our kids or ourselves accountable as parents, as adults, to reading the word of God. So change that. And I've seen it through my son. I've seen it firsthand, what it does for him and how it equips him for the worldly influence he's going to walk into at high school. It's awesome. John 1:1, in the beginning it was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In Psalms 119:105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Where does the word of Christ come from? The gospels, his teachings, his stories. Joshua 1:8, we did this in episode 2. This is where Joshua came from. Episode 2, A Prosperous Life. Do not let the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything it says in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. One of the three things we took away from A Prosperous Life and how you receive prosperity and success through God's eyes, one of the three is reading your Bible. And that's where that verse comes from. Matthew 7:24, therefore everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus said this at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. These are his words. He's talking about his teachings that if we put these into practice, we will live. We'll build a house on a rock. We'll have a strong foundation in our faith. And so that's where that came from. So how do we build a relationship, a personal relationship? We build it through prayer. We build it through God's word. But we really build it too by, is Jesus invited in every aspect of your life? So if Jesus is invited in every aspect of your life, he's everywhere where you go, then you're starting that connection with him. But man, through prayer on a regular basis and getting into the Bible and letting God's word speak to us is how we build a personal relationship. So that is pillar number one today. And we are going to move into pillar two next week, which is sanctification. So I'm excited to go through those aspects with you. So again, thanks for joining us tonight. Part one of a three-part episode, and episode one of the three pillars of spiritual development. Pillar number one, a personal relationship with God. He wants to have one with us. He longs to have one with us. And how do we do it? We invite him into every aspect of our life, and we pray. We learn how to communicate through prayer, and then we get into the Bible so that we can hear him speak to us into our life. And that's how we begin to build that. So, please put that into your daily habit. If your parents live that out, start living that out in your house. So let your kids see that, and talk to your kids about it. And again, let your kids hear this, and have a conversation about it, because I think it's a huge start. Our kids and just our generation has gone to a phone and electronics for our personal relationships, and you just can't have that with God. It doesn't work. So, these are ways that you can do it. So again, thanks for joining us on this first part, and we're excited to bring part two, sanctification, next week. So enjoy, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.